This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. Go to FUBARradio.com for more details. The Tuesday Roundup with Doc Brown and Hugh Joseph on FUBAR Radio.
When the clock struck
4
and it was on Tuesday,
it meant one thing.
Boys are back in town.
Say what?
Go time.
Oh, yeah. It certainly did mean one thing. The best thing. The most amazing thing. The saddest thing.
Doc!
Doc, where are you, Doc? He's not here. Oh, he said he was going to be here and now he's not here. Why does this always happen to me? I've been on FUBAR now. Hey, it's Hugh, by the way. How you doing? Where was I? I've been on FUBAR for like nearly, I don't know, 14 months, 15 months. And why am I co-host always late? Is Michael Payne on Fridays? It's always late. I'm starting to think people don't want to hang out with me before the show. producer Adam, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, buddy. I heard you guys were doing a few statistics about how many other shows have presenters that turn up leaving one man stranded. How many other presenters turn up late?
Well, it turns out that 70% of all of our shows, it only happens on your show.
What?
Yeah, unfortunately.
Do you think this is like my choice of co-host, or is this something I should take personally?
Well, I think it's you, because I'm even running late to produce your show, so I'll be there in about 10 minutes, okay?
Not for much longer. Doc's nearly here, but right now I'm... G'day, guy. It is the Tuesday Roundup. Doc's not too far away. He's just stuck in traffic. He won't be very far. We've got an amazing guest today, a East London local lad. He's a total gem, and we're all big fans of him here. Eddie Brett's going to be joining us in the studio. He's got some new projects on the go, and we're going to have some jokes with him. It's going to be fun. That's coming up just after 5 p.m. today. Whew! All right, I'll stop being a weirdo and being sad, and we'll be back very soon. Doc Brown on his way. Get this Tuesday fired up for you right here on FUBAR. on FUBAR. It's the Tuesday Roundup. Dead and Gone, the name of that one. Hugh and Doc with ya.
What's up? What's up?
You made it. Starting to get really, really self-conscious that people were late and all the time and just didn't.
And it's just, what do you think? They're just late for you.
Yeah.
Are you too early though?
Well,
I think maybe that's.
I mean, the show starts at 4, happening. So I think any time before 4 is pretty not too early. I don't know. It depends what.
I don't think I've ever been here on time, like exactly on time.
Yeah. Are you often would you be late to your own party sort of thing?
Yeah, I hate being late. I absolutely hate it, but I always am. Because I always try and fit too many things into each day.
Like
that's
what
the problem is. I try and fit too many jobs. Like, I want my whole day to be full. Because if it's not full, then I know what's going to happen. I'm just going to end up in some weird little hole of loneliness under like one of those pig pen clouds.
You can't have that.
Yeah, we can't have that.
We can't have that.
So I try and pack my day with like as many different things. And they always tend to be different parts of the city or country. Whatever happens, invariably I'm in a rush every single day.
What? But don't you get upset about being a little bit late?
Yeah, I do. It's really embarrassing sometimes. Last Friday I completely missed one out. I missed one out completely. I missed the guy.
Oh no.
Yeah. And I got a call from his assistant like, "Oh, are you nearby?"
Uh-oh.
"Because James is waiting for you." And I was like, "Oh,
poor James."
Shit.
James, I know how James feels.
Yeah.
I know how James feels.
So, you know, sometimes I make myself too busy and it's ridiculous.
But what about, my question is though, that if you are upset about being late, but then you're upset about not squeezing enough into your day.
Yeah.
Sounds like no one understands you but your woman, Shaft. That's what it sounds like. You sound like a complicated man.
No, I am. That's exactly what it is.
You
that's
sound
exactly
like
what
a
it is.
Complicated
we that,
man.
We should stick that on the playlist.
Yeah.
Because that just sums it up. That sums it up.
He's a complicated man. Nobody understands him. But he's a man. How are you? Anyway, you doing all right?
Yeah, I'm all right. How are you?
Doing
more
very
importantly.
Well. Yeah, that's right.
That's
thank
not
you.
More importantly.
A little respect around here. No, I'm
put
doing
some
good,
respect
man.
Respect on my name. Y'all finished or y'all done?
Yeah. No, I'm doing good, man.
Wait,
big
what was
things.
The first one again?
Big things happening in my life.
Yeah.
Big things.
Big things.
Today is the first day that I rode to work without using my GPS, my Google Maps.
Ah, so you're getting to know the city.
Getting to know the city, friend.
Good boy. Good boy.
So that was a big thing. That's it.
All the way from
Bow.
The far, far east.
Yeah.
Yeah, impressive.
It's pretty exciting. Yeah.
Impressive.
Hey,
what have we got on the show
we've
today?
I'm looking forward to this. This is going to be fun. We're going to have jokes, man. Eddie Brett's coming in just after 5 p.m.
Oh, sick.
Yeah,
sort
he's a legend.
Poet type slash music-y.
Music-y.
Kind of.
Guy,
yeah.
East London-y.
Yeah.
Hangoutery.
Yeah.
Do poemies. Music guy.
What was the second one?
Not sure.
Okay.
Not sure. I was just being a vessel from
oh,
God.
Oh, do a poemy.
Do a poemy. Yeah,
do a poemy.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good.
Do a poemy.
So that's coming up just after 5. But first things first, come on. I mean, there's something I need to talk to you about.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like it's probably best to just get it out on air.
Okay.
Don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, let me know, man. I don't mind.
You
say
might.
Anything. Well, you can say anything to me.
Really? Anything?
Yeah.
All right.
What have I done?
Well, I think you know what you've done. I think first things first, is there anything you want to say? Is there anything you want to say at all? Sounds like the answer of a guilty man. That's what it sounds like.
Oh, I know what the problem is.
Sure you are. Sure you do. Yeah. All right, here's Chasing Status. We'll get into it up next on FUBAR.
I'm in a rave, jump, touch mic, I make the place, jump, when you hear the bass, jump, man them, jump, yell them, jump, when I'm inside, jump, N-O-V, I bring vibe, jump, tell a man take time, jump, man them, jump, N-O-V said jump, 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 jump. N-O-V said jump. Make the gal them advance. I man them on a glance. When I act hard, but you won't get a chance to take a chance. Blood knows your scars. I'm a Liverpool dats from LDN, not France. But I got man them in France. Energy in the room, I enhance. When I spit past the people, them jump. I bring vibe to make you get hype. I'm a Liverpool guy. Shower down, mic inside. My hair begins to ride.
energy in a room I'll maximize. Touch mic can make you conceptualize. Why? And OV is the guy. Make the gal them jump and whine. I blow your mind. Jump when I'm inside. Touch mic, I make the place jump. When you hear the bass jump, man them jump, yell them jump. When I'm inside jump, N-O-V I bring vibe jump. Tell a man take time jump, man them jump.
Featuring Novelis by Chasing Status on FUBAR. It's Hugh and Doc with you for the Tuesday roundup. Yeah, man. So we kind of we don't just need to get into the start of the show. We kind of need to get into it as well.
Right.
So you think you know what's going on, but yeah. I mean, it's a little bit curious. I mean, first things first. How great was it last week having Lamar on the show? Wasn't that great?
Yeah, he was great. I don't remember you being there.
Ouch. You kind of hurt people when you use words like that. It's like you open your mouth and just pain comes out, and then you throw that pain at people. It's weird. Yeah, it was great having Lamar on the show, but what wasn't so great was all the photos that you put up of us. So whenever we have guests on FUBAR, we always get a nice clean photo for one of the producers.
All the photos.
We always get a photo.
So I took the photo from Hugh's Instagram, right? And I thought it was funny because if you zoom in on me and Lamar, it's just like a little tiny white hand, a tiny, tiny white hand on Lamar's shoulder. So I cropped it after that because I love the look of it. If you look at just me and Lamar and this tiny little white baby hand.
Baby hand.
So it looks like there's a small baby hanging from Lamar's back, which I found funny. And I put Hugh Joseph's name in the comments, so he knew, you know, what was going on.
Yeah, I knew I'd been cropped out.
But he took it very personally.
Well, I didn't take it personally. I thought it was just pretty straight down the line. Hey, do you know what would make this photo a whole lot better?
Go on.
You not being in it. That's what you were saying. Ouch.
Yeah, I mean, that would work as well. In fact, it'd be even better if it was just Lamar.
Yeah. Yeah.
And a tiny hand.
The baby hand is so creepy, though.
It's really creepy.
It actually is amazing. Like I love it. I got transfixed by it for a little while when I was first, because it was producer Nat. She sent me the photo and she's like, "Ooh, you got to see this." And I was like, "What the hell?" I was like, "Doc, crop me out, that motherfucker. What's he?" and then I saw the baby hand and I was just transfixed by it.
It's honestly, it's really strangely alluring.
Yeah.
But you know, producer Nat is a shit stirrer, really.
She definitely, because she knew something like this would happen on air.
Yeah.
She's just trying to give us content.
I see we've got some more content based on my behaviour for no, they didn't.
Oh, really? What have you? Oh, we do indeed. Oh my god, what an amazing segue! You are so good, friend. I'll tell you what, you really are good.
Oh no! Oh no! Oh no! Yo yo yo! Oh no! You didn't.
Now this is pretty brilliant. This is pretty real. Of course, no, they didn't. We look at someone doing something that makes you go, "What? No, they didn't." And this week, this is one.
Oh no, you
perfect for you, Doc. It's actually, maybe this one was even inadvertently made for you.
Yeah,
we don't know.
Well, that's what I thought. That is what I thought.
So this is pretty great. This one, Lauryn Hill. And I'm a big Lauryn Hill fan. You're a big
Legend.
Lauryn Hill. Amazing. She's pretty notorious for turning up really, really late or just not at all to concerts. A lot of things. You know, even like, I mean, obviously there was a bit of discrepancy about her at the performing at the Grammys, and she was like, "I wasn't invited to perform at the Grammys." You got to think someone like the Grammys. They're usually pretty good about who they invite.
Yeah, you're either there or you're not.
You know what I mean? You don't just be like, last minute.
There's no grey area.
I was never invited to the Grammys. So this is pretty amazing. She's given a pretty wild excuse for why she's been late to a show. I think it's pretty amazing. So basically, she's
2 hours late.
She's 2 hours late, and of course, just in case you haven't heard of Lauryn Hill, she's a very, very famous singer, rapper from the Fugees. You know, here the doo wop. You know, she's had many, many hits. Incredible. Such like a seminal artist, and so. She probably, in her own right, a little bit Axl Rose syndrome, feels like, you know, hey, if I want to turn up late, I'll bloody turn up late. Do you know what I mean? So there might be a little bit of that. But they still do need to, especially in this day and age of having the internet and such close proximity with fans, having direct contact with you, with Twitter or Instagram or whatever.
There's no hiding place.
There's actually no hiding place. So she, even though she might still turn up late, she still needs to have some sort of excuse. It can't just be like, oh, otherwise, people will just turn their backs on her.
Yeah, of course.
Do you know what I mean? So this one's pretty amazing.
This is incredible. I've just read through the entire quote.
Please do the honours. Do the honours.
So on her Facebook page, she wrote, "I don't show up late to shows because I don't care." Oh, right. Oh, it must be something serious. Maybe I'm thinking... Maybe
illness?
A family member's...
Illness?
Maybe yes, illness. Something. No, the challenge is aligning my energy with the time. Right? Taking something that isn't easily classified or contained and trying to make it available for others. So it was actually just her energy alignment. You know, you've got to align your energy with the right time. For every performance that I've arrived late, there have been countless others where I've performed in excess of 2 hours beyond what I am contracted to do. Pouring everything out on the stage. So she needed to align her energy. So it was her energy's fault.
Sometimes we all need to, Doc.
I mean,
are your energies aligned right now? Because, mate, you were late. So I'm just trying to wonder if they are aligned now.
Got a crack on. I mean, the one thing that I agree with her is where she says, I don't have an on-off switch. Like, you know, there's an element of performing where, you know, I'm not in the mood.
Of course.
And I've still got to turn it on. But that is the problem. Like, you just have to turn it on.
Exactly.
That's when you're supposed to be there. That's what you do.
Professionalism. You know what I mean? You can't just go like, oh, hey, I just don't feel like it today. So everyone's like, cool, we'll just put everything back a couple of days. Like, people just won't work with you.
Wait for your chi to catch up with our timings.
Hey, but I tell you, it's important.
That's outrageous, really. Yeah, it is important. I feel it.
Good.
But that's quite an incredible excuse. I mean, quite ballsy in the sort of expectation that nobody's going to go, what?
I don't know.
The fuck do you take us for?
I reckon there's going to be a few people that, like, you know, the green living hashtags on Instagram going, oh, I know exactly what you're saying. Finally, someone is standing up for how we all feel.
Finally, someone done said it.
Finally. God, I'm going back to yoga. This is terrible. I know. It is pretty ballsy, though, isn't it? It's a pretty ballsy excuse.
Yeah.
It's kind of even more so, like turning up 2 hours late and then saying, oh, sorry, guys, I needed to get my energies aligned. It's kind of even just double dipping in the fuck you.
Yeah, because she should have just said, you know what, I fucked up.
Yeah.
I fucked up. And I'm so sorry. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do my next show half price. Or I'm going to do the next show. I'm going to stay on stage for an hour longer. Or some shit. Like, she just should have sugared the...
Yeah.
Sugared the pill.
Currently in a civil lawsuit with Angry Birds. That's why I was late. You know, hopefully it gets resolved soon. Sorry, guys, it's not my fault. I have a serious addiction. I know. Are you? What are you? Because you said that you're quite often late to things. Because
yes.
I mean, in your own reasoning, was it reasoning or was it your own energy alignment? You were saying that I am not happy unless I've crammed so much into my day.
Yeah, I suppose there is some chi involved in that. I don't like sitting around on my hands. There's no question about it. But that's no excuse for being late. My excuse for being late is always taking on too much and then not leaving enough time to get from one place to the next, which is something I should easily have learned by this stage of my life.
Yeah.
Well, so there's not really an excuse.
The French call it, it's an old term, it's le time management.
Le time management, I think my favourite excuse ever was there was a football player, he's still playing actually, he's called Steven Ireland, and he didn't show up for... he actually is Irish and he used to play for the Irish team and then he sort of retired from it after a bit of a big argument. He didn't show up when the team got together for a European competition, and when asked why he didn't show, he said, my grandma died. And everyone's like, oh shit, sorry man, you should have just told us beforehand, like we wouldn't have
given
you grief or anything.
And it was in the newspaper, obviously. Oh, Stephen Island didn't make it. He'd lost his gran, and his gran saw it. And his gran saw the story and called up and was like, "Whoa, whoa, whoa!
Oh, that is terrible."
I can qualify right now and confirm that I am still alive. And you know, the Irish FA were like, "Dude, what the fuck?" And he goes, "Oh, it's my other grandma." He said, "It's my other grandma." And they were like, "Oh, right."
He lied.
Oh, sorry.
He lied, didn't
and
he?
Then the other grandma called up and said, "It's not me either.
Oh, what a piece of shit.
We're both fine." And they were like, "Dude, you got issues, man."
He has got issues. That's really, really bad. Yeah. Really, really
bad.
There
you go.
I mean, I can honestly tell you, and I felt like a massive piece of shit. This was like get your life together, kind of like traumatizing. But I had called in sick to once when a friend of a friend, this is what had lost, had passed away, someone had passed away, and I had a friend of a friend. Right, and I had been out on a big night, and I was probably like 20 and I was like,
in.
"Hey guys, I'm really sorry. A friend has passed away. I think today's not a good day." And they're like, "Of course, take as much time as you need." And then I got off the phone and went, "This has got to be a low point in my life."
That's a hard low to be.
This is a low point in my life.
You essentially called out your work and said someone somewhere has died.
Oh God!
And because I'm connected to every human being,
well.
I can't come in today.
Technically,
wow,
guys,
a friend has died.
We're all our energies are aligned with Lauryn Hill.
It's amazing.
And I remember a good excuse of for when I was late was I woke up on my friend's couch after a boozy night out. Again, when I was younger, I had a lot of issues of late nights and not going to work when I was younger. We all do. And the phone was ringing, and I wake up, and it's my manager at this this skate surf store that I used to work at when I was 18, 19 or something like that. And I woke up, and I was like, "Oh shit, I must have slept in." And he's like, "Hugh, where are you, man? What are you doing?" He's like, "You're 20 minutes late." I was like, "Oh, sorry, yeah, just car broke down. Oh, I'm just waiting for the roadside assistance." He's like, "Cool, just make sure you bring a receipt in from after they've been there. Make sure they sign something." And I was like, "Okay, man, no worries." Hung up, and I was like, shit. And I was like, "Do they even give receipts? How's he going to know?" So I just got like a lined piece of paper and just wrote down, "Independent contractor for," and took it in, and he's looked at him and was like, "Dude, why did you?" Like, he's like, it's actually amazing, but like, wow, you're a real piece of shit to go
you took it
to go to that much effort.
Oh, mate.
Oh, God.
Oh, that hurts.
Yeah, really.
That's
hurts.
Two quite low points. Yeah, I feel like you've got a barrel more.
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah,
nice.
I'm a real piece of shit.
we'd like to know how many pieces of shit listen to this show. So, if any of this is ringing bells with you,
yeah.
What was the worst excuse you ever gave for turning up late or avoiding any kind of function?
Yeah.
Because we all do it. We Definitely. All try and find a reason not to come.
Yeah.
There was a Curb Your Enthusiasm episode I loved where Larry didn't want to go to a party. So he showed up the day after the party and said, "Hey, we're here for the party." And it was Ted Danson's house, and he's like, "Oh, the party was last night." And he goes, "Oh," like he'd forgotten. Ted's like, "Well, come in and hang out, you know?" And he's like, no, you're good. Like, he booked a restaurant somewhere else. He goes, "Well, you've got nothing to do. You're planning to be here,
yeah,
right? So come in, hang out." No.
Oh,
but he gets
God.
Dragged in, you know? So, you know, this is where horrific lying can get you. But I'd love to know from our esteemed piece of shit listeners your lowest moments, your worst excuses given. Hit us up at FUBAR Radio on Twitter or email us at studio?
HD, yeah.
Oh, HD. Yep. HD at FUBARradio.com. HD at FUBARradio.com. Or
Bang.
Be weird and phone us.
Oh,
no one
yeah.
ever does that.
I know, we could. Mum, yeah. Anyone? No one? All right. Yeah, we'll get all your stories up soon. And yeah, Eddie Brett coming up just after 5 p.m. today as well.
FUBAR Radio presents Harriet Rose. In a few weeks, we've got Alfred Quantro coming into the studio to make some cocktails for us and chat about Quantro. But on the weekend, I DJed a little Marie Claire event, and we had some Quantro Fizz cocktails.
Ooh.
They are so good. Have you tried? You haven't tried Quantro yet, have
I
you?
I haven't. No, I'm saving it. I'm
which is really exciting because you're going to love it.
Well, it's a it's going to be spring, and well, it's kind of technically spring now. But in a couple of weeks,
we've been saying it's summer for like 4 months.
But I feel like when Quantro comes in, I'll lose my Quantro virginity on the show.
Yeah, and you've lost a lot of virginities on this show, haven't you?
Yeah,
sadly, not the one that matters.
Every Thursday, Harriet Rose, from 4 p.m. on FUBAR Radio.
Yo, remember back on the bully when cats used to harmonize like.
Yo,
my men and my women, don't forget about the dean. This is not the most of king, yo. It's about a thing, yeah.
Feel
yo.
Real good when your hands in the air and lick two shots.
Since you were looking for your friend, the one you let hit it and never called you again. Remember when he told you he was about to Benjamins? You act like you and him, they give him a little trim to begin. Now you think you really gonna pretend like you wasn't down and you called him again. Plus when you give it up so easy, you ain't even fooling him. If you did it then, then you probably can. Talking out your neck saying you're a Christian, a Muslim, sleeping with the gin. Now that was the sin that did Jezebel in. Who you gonna tell when the repercussions spin? Showing off your ass cause you thinking it's a trend, girlfriend. Let me break it down for you again. You know I only say it cause I'm truly genuine. Don't be a hard rock when you really are a gem, baby girl. Respect is just the minimum. And you still defending them now. Lauren is only human. Don't think I haven't been through the same predicament. Let it sit inside your head like a million women in Philly pen. It's silly when girls sell their souls because it's sin. Look at where you be in. Hair weaves like Europeans. Fake nails done by Koreans. Come again. And his Timbs and his women, him and his men. Come in the club like hooligans. Don't care who they offend, popping yang.
Like you got yang.
Let's not pretend. The one that pack pissed out by the waistman, crissed out by the casement. Still the name of this basement. The pretty face man claiming that they did a bid, man. Need to take care of their 3 and 4 kids. Been the face in court case when the child support's late. Money taking, heartbreaking. Now you wonder why women hate me. The sneaky silent man, the punk domestic violence man, the quick to shoot the semen. Stop acting like boys and be men. How you gonna win when you ain't right within? How you gonna win when you ain't right within? How you gon' win when you ain't right with them? Come again.
That thing on FUBAR, it's the Tuesday Roundup. Hugh and Doc with ya. And Lauryn Hill, she's an amazing singer, songwriter, MC, poet, artist,
timekeeper,
mother. Not so good at turning up on time to shows. We've been having a bit of a laugh because she is notoriously turns up late for gigs and events. Like even we said, like the Grammys, she just was like, I wasn't invited. I'm sure I wasn't invited. I'm not going. But her latest one, it's a pretty amazing excuse. She said she was 2 hours late for a show because she was finding it challenging to align her energies and she didn't want to do a show.
There.
Didn't want to do a show.
We've all been there.
Energies weren't aligned.
I mean, I actually saw her at Brixton Academy a year or so ago and was obviously very excited, but because she lost that court case with all the musicians off of the album that song we just played came from, yeah. Miseducation. I mean, she can't play the songs as we know them.
That's right.
So they were all like either twice the speed or half the speed with completely different backing tracks.
Yeah.
And it was quite a frustrating watch anyway.
Yeah.
I'm glad I didn't have to wait 2 hours for her to get on stage. That would have been even more irritating. But yeah, feeble excuses. I mean, there's been a few coming through. One from Oliver who says, I once told my boss the reason I was late to work was because I'd stayed up all night to watch the season finale of Lost. And he totally let me off. Yeah, well,
that's what I'm just thinking.
Honesty,
like,
it
depends, like who you're talking to. Like, you know, if you're
talking to know your boss.
You've got to know your
boss.
He might like Oliver might not even watch Lost. He just knows that his boss is a massive fan. Do you know what I mean?
Interesting. So he probably took that angle.
And he's like, yeah. Yes, I know how to get out of this. That's a really good idea.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. What else have we got? We got Claire in Harrogate who says, worst excuse I used for being late to work was my cat had got stuck in the toilet. And had to wait for a plumber to come round and help get it out.
My cat got stuck in a toilet.
I don't even have a cat, she signs off. Just the idea. The thing about using a high concept lie like that, this is why Oliver was in the right place with Lost. You choose a high concept lie, there's so much more lying you're going to have to do around layers, the high concept lie.
Layers upon layers.
Because that's a big story.
Yeah.
Cat stuck in a toilet. So it was stuck. Was it drowning? Mm. Oh, no. It was fine enough to live, but we couldn't get it out.
Yeah.
So it must be traumatized, right? Oh, yeah. There's so many questions people are going to want to ask about a cat who's halfway down the toilet.
Yeah. And, you know, exactly. Or, like, you know, head down, obviously, is terrible.
Head down,
it's not going to last.
Butt down.
It's like, if it's like.
What did the plumber say? What did the plumber do that you couldn't do?
Was it like, did it, like, collapse? So it's like just its butt stuck in the thing? Like, sure, you would have taken a photo. Like, it's traumatizing, but funny. Like,
bad choice.
Why would the fire brigade? Were they there? This seems like a job for fire brigade
as well.
Such
a bad choice from Claire there. Such a bad choice.
I wonder if she got away with it, though. It is the type of thing as well where it's so random that it's like almost you can't, because for a boss they've kind of got to be a little bit sensitive just in case
it's
a lie.
Because
imagine that, like, you know, oh, my cat got stuck in a toilet. Yeah, sure it did, dickhead. Yeah. Sure it did. Get to work.
No,
now.
I mean, I've got a cat, you know, and I'm sensitive towards people's cat needs, but somebody told me that his cat was, you know, really sick and they were going to pay for surgery.
Yeah.
Six grand save the cat's life. And the cat didn't survive. But when he first told me pay for surgery, I was like, right, is it $6,000? I was like, and then I realized he was serious. I was like, right.
Do you take check?
$6,000.
Take check? Yeah.
Would you save a cat for $6,000? $6,000?
Me?
Yeah.
No, man. I live.
Just get another cat,
My flatmate's got a cat now. I'm becoming less and less of a cat person.
Right.
I'm sorry to say.
So Liam in Kent did get busted. He says he once said that he was out on a date.
Yeah.
Which was the reason he couldn't meet friends.
Ah.
But he just actually couldn't be asked, he says.
Yeah.
I really CBA.
Mm.
And then he got caught online playing Call of Duty by said mates.
Uh-oh. I've had that before where I was invited. This is going back. I think I might have even been in high school, actually. Maybe like 15 or 16 or something like that. But I was invited to a party, but I really wanted to go to another party. But I knew that my friends that I was with wouldn't be allowed to go to this party because my friends,
the other friends were a little bit
rough and rowdy.
Yeah.
I wanted to go to a party where it was private schoolgirls.
Right.
And I knew that the private schoolgirls weren't going to let in the rough and
rowdies. Okay.
So I said to the lads, I was like, I'm not feeling that well. I'm just going to stay in. And I said to mum, if they come over, because a lot of people used to come over to my house, you know, I was central to the school.
She's too ill to come to the door right now.
She's too ill. And I'm like, I'm covered. Totally fine. Who gay crashes the party? They all jump the back fence and they roll in and they're like, Huey there, Huey, like, yeah, chilling, just doing Twister with like 15, 20 like really hot private schoolgirls hanging out. Oh, hey, lads.
Yeah. Just suddenly had a late.
Here's the penicillin. Oh, right, thanks.
I like this one a lot. Lucy in Clapham says, hi, guys.
Come on, that still gets me after a year.
It's my favorite thing.
But it still does.
Hi, guys. She's even spelled hi with 7 I's guys with 6 U's, 3 Y's. And 8 S's.
Do you know why? Because she gets us.
Hi, guys!
That's why.
There was this one time that I didn't want to go out at all to a friend's party, so I said my cat was ill.
Mm-hmm.
Cat was ill. Next morning, it actually, really, actually got run over.
Oh, shit.
Karma or what? Oh. Lucy in Clapham.
Karma ran over a dog.
Woo!
Oh, God. That's quite brutal.
Yeah, but I like it. I like it. It sort of sums the whole thing up, doesn't it?
Well, no,
where these kind of lies are going to take you.
But not if she's smiling through the whole thing. Oh, God, funniest thing. So I said my cat was sick, and then it died.
Kelly just says, if I'm ever late for work, I tell my boss I'm not late. I was thinking about work on my way in.
Oh.
Yeah.
Does that kind of, yeah. Again, yeah. If it depends what your boss
depends
is like.
And depends what your job is, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If one of your patients has died because they're waiting for you to come and sew up the gun wound,
yeah,
then it doesn't matter. You were thinking about it.
Yeah.
You weren't there.
Yeah.
So it must kind of depend on you. She must have a very cerebral job.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Because I remember that she must be that same kid from school who, when the teacher goes, "What are you talking about back there?" Just talking about discussing the work. The work.
Yeah.
She was probably that kid there. Thanks for all your correspondence, guys. Keep it coming in. And don't forget, at 5 to 6, long after we've had Eddie Brett come and go, rap about anything.
Yeah,
this week's rap about whatever you want it to be.
Let's get into that up next with people that are brand new to it.
And, oh, yeah, good idea.
Just in case.
Yeah.
And we have loyal listeners that listen every week.
Yeah,
but
let's keep the tone of our voice doing this.
What about someone brand new go, who are these zany guys?
I mean, why not?
Wow.
Yeah.
They're great.
Hey, let's do it.
A bit. Yeah. Mm. All right. Yeah. Up next. Okay. Can't wait.
Mm. Wow. Yeah. Oh, my God. We're stuck in a loop. We're stuck in a loop. Play a song. Why not play a song?
Oxide and Neutrino on FUBAR.
You really were.
Grinding pepper with that jaw, Mr. Brown.
Yeah.
Mr. Brown, Hugh and Doc with you for the Tuesday Roundup. Hey, we're normally only really allowed to do this right at the end of the show, but it's so much fun and so much effort went into it. Let's play it twice.
My calculations are correct. When this baby hits 88 miles per hour, you're going to see some serious shit.
We're going to call this one Rap About Anything.
Doc Brown!
This is Doc Brown.
I can spit about anything.
What did I tell you?
You can give me anything.
Makes a noise, yeah.
Rap about anything.
That is one of the all-time great trails that you've made, I have to say.
Bless me.
I love it.
Here
I love
you,
it.
Buddy. I love you.
It's what? The what did I tell you? It's my favourite bit. Yeah, man. Rap about anything. Hashtag rap about anything. You know the coup is get a little 16-bar verse written especially for you, created on the spot in the studio to round off the show. About whatever you want. Mm. I did one a couple weeks ago about a guy falling in love with his girlfriend.
Yeah.
And it's like, they just keep, like, their email thank yous and
yeah,
their romance has, like, gone, you know, it's picked up, has gone to the next level.
Well, I mean, this is an like good amazing. Opportunity because we film all these, we put them all online, all of them get, like, a good few thousand hits. So this is an opportunity for your content suggestion to be on the internet.
Yeah, because it lives on, it's not just on the show, is it?
Immortalized yeah. on the show with thousands of people watching these things. Yeah, so it could be anything. Right, we've had so many, what was the last week's was Mr. Whippy.
That's right, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, who doesn't want to talk about a 99p cone, you know what I mean? Of course.
Whatever you want. Hit me up, DocBrown88 on Twitter or at FUBAR Radio on Twitter or email us, hd@fubarradio.com.
We have had some good suggestions before. I mean, what is it? There's been stuff like jacket potatoes.
Yeah, I mean, for every week I pick one, there's probably another four or five. I should probably just keep one of those for the next week, but I never do.
No, we've got to keep it fresh. Well, just for people to get a bit of an insight into you, you know, what is some things that you might like in your day-to-day, just to inspire, because if you say, hey, I like crack, I like crisp bread or something, cheese, like, you know, people, if somebody suggests that, we're not going to use that.
Yeah.
But what are some things to give people a bit of an idea about you?
Well, I think at home? I think it's one of those things where it's the more random, the better, you know? Like, it might be about a mood, it might be about a food, it might be about someone you know.
He's rapping right now! Oh, shit! Why are we filming this, guys?
It might be completely personal to you, and I've just got to work out the story around it, you know?
My man, Hugh. Damn, I'm sorry.
It's the challenge that is everything. I don't. It's really hard to give a category because it's one of those things I just know when I see it.
Yeah.
Like, remember that dude about a year ago who kept finding toenails and fingernails in his cutlery drawer?
Amazing.
Do you know what I'm saying?
So that's a brilliant suggestion.
And it was just like, I was like, what's the story behind that? I wanted to work it out, so I just worked out a story behind it. But that was all he told me. It was just gross. He just kept finding it. He didn't know what the deal was.
That is really disgusting, though.
But it was really disgusting. What it did was it created a strong feeling inside of me and inside of all of us.
Yes.
So if you think your suggestion is going to do that, then by all means, send it to me at DocBrown88.
We've already had a few come through.
Yeah, they're coming through as I speak. Or at email the studio, hd@fubarradio.com. And thank you so much for the ones that are already coming back. See, this is my kind of guy.
This is
Lee.
Great. Perfect. Look at this.
Hey, guys, love having Doc back. Could you rap about wasabi peas?
Bang. Thank you. Short,
keeps
concise.
It simple.
Got a compliment,
you know,
in. Compliment in.
He's got a compliment in, which is always, that's always going to win me over. Thanks, Lee. We'll see how we do.
Smart.
Hey, Doc, I love a bespoke rap about the annoying PPI calls I keep getting. Love Yvette. Yeah, Lee, listen, that really gets my goat. So
me
she's
too.
Yeah, she's been listening. We have strong feelings about that shit. It's the only time my home phone rings.
Yeah, I know, 100%, right?
Can you rap, this is Brian in Charlton, can you rap about the bald-headed, I'm sure he means bald-headed, stunning machine wrestling legend Stone Cold Steve Austin?
See, well, again, like, you know,
interesting.
So random that he's just like,
yeah, it's
where
just something he wants to hear about.
Why is he just randomly thinking about Stone Cold Steve Austin, you know what I mean? Perfect.
Yeah, that's really nice. I don't know anything about wrestling. So, that one I would have to do research on, which I'm loathe to do because of the lack of time. But you never know.
You never know.
I've done it before.
You could just make it up.
And God damn it, I'll do it again.
Oh, God, he's getting wild.
Let's move on.
We can and we will. Coming up next, some pretty amazing, very, very British problems that we want to get into very shortly.
FUBAR Radio presents...
Jim Howick, people mostly know you for horrible histories.
I mean, it's funny, it depends on the time of day. So in the morning, if people come up to you, it's usually about horrible histories.
Yeah.
But if you're at a festival or something, it's nearly always Peep Show.
I remember being with you when Harry Styles approached you and said, oh, I know you from horrible histories.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, Jim's made it.
Every Friday. Sweet Talk with Dan Clark. From 12 p.m. on FUBAR Radio.
When it rains, I'm only happy when it's complicated. I know you can't appreciate it. I'm only happy
You're a weird man. And I like that about you, Doc Brown. Mm. Garbage there, only happy when it rains. Hugh and Doc with you on FUBAR for the Tuesday roundup.
Hello.
And we've got Eddie Brett not too far away. He's going to join us in the next 10 minutes or so last night. Hey, yeah, I was watching TV last night. I had no idea what channel it was on, but have you seen the show Very British Problems?
I've heard about it. I think it's just like based on a Twitter account, maybe.
Sure. Let's go with that.
I'm pretty sure it is. Right. A lot of TV is these
I don't
days.
Know, so I'm going to go, if that's your guess, why not?
Let's go with that. I'm pretty sure it is, man. Very British Problems.
Yeah, well, there is a big hashtag that's sort of trending the whole way through it as well, I guess, online, which is... Yeah. Actually, I was actually just flicking through Twitter and I saw it and I was like, ooh, what's this? This is funny. And it's sort of a little bit... It's like, you know, those shows where they have lots of different famous people all giving their opinions... On stuff, so it's like,
talking,
you know,
heads, yeah.
yeah, stuff like that. So it was, you know, there's people like Danny Dyer, James Corden, Ramesh Ranganathan, people like that, and they're all talking about, it was all about sex education at school and like your awkward first encounters, stuff like that. So it was pretty funny, man. It was actually pretty fun. And I love people like Danny Dyer because they're, you know, they're talking about, oh, what was, like, it was something like talking about your first awkward sexual encounter, and he's just like, yeah, I think the first wank I had was over Madonna. It's like,
nice.
All right, yeah, sweet.
Yeah, he doesn't really have an off switch.
He doesn't have an off switch at all.
Calm switch. Old DD.
It was pretty funny though, man, but it did get me thinking, you know, like, it. There are some pretty amazing awkward first times. Like, I even remember... Mm. When I was at school, right, and this is kind of, hopefully this is not too weird. It's going to be weird. I'm just bracing you. Hopefully it's not too weird. It is too weird.
We'll see.
Right? But I remember, I can't remember even how old I was. I must have been maybe 9 or 10 or something like that, right? And these group of three girls came up to me and they were like, you haven't even had a head job, right? And I was like,
a head job?
Why would I want someone's head up my ass, you idiots? And I remember, and I was like, I walked away going, yes, you're the man, Hugh. Like, you burnt them girls
Touché.
Down. Do you know what I mean? So I just literally had no idea about anything. Yeah. Like, up until I was probably 23, I really didn't know much about much.
Fair.
But what I thought we could do here, I wanted to tweet this out to our listeners. So we're gonna, this is a you can tweet at FUBAR Radio, email hd@fubarradio.com. Just finish this sentence. The first time I hooked up with someone, I...
.....
What would you say to that, Doc? First time I hooked up with someone,
I well, I was a serial dry humper, so it would have been the natural end to a dry hump session.
A wet hump. It turned into
it
a wet hump.
It would have turned wet in the end.
Why do dry humps always turn out wet? Why?
Yeah. I think I like the idea of a dry hump. You know, it's just such an innocent thing for kids to, you know, explore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the first...
So that was, that would be my ... Not very funny, just true.
Yeah, just true. Just true.
True.
Are you still a bit of a dry humper?
No, I don't dry hump. Well, I mean, you know, the dry hump in the later stage in life is just, it's simply foreplay. But as a kid, the dry hump, you just followed it through to its natural conclusion because you didn't know what else to do.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was just, it was one particular girl. She was in my science class and she lived very close to the school.
Yeah.
So we'd be able to nip
lunchtime
dry hump.
Yeah.
And then I just sort of have this sort of sogginess for the rest of the day, but I felt very proud of myself.
Oh, yeah, you do, don't you?
And sneak home.
Yeah. I remember the first time I hooked up with someone, I made her cry. She actually, I can't remember how old was I? I think I might have been maybe 11 or something like that, just at the end of primary school, and had my first like big meek out with this girl, right? So we're making out behind like the cricket sheds or something like that, and then all of a sudden she stopped, she turned, and then she burst into tears, and then she ran away screaming, "I can't believe my first kiss was with Hugh!" I was the fat kid. I was the fat kid at school.
Yeah, so was and I.
Were you really?
Yeah.
Damn. She ran. That's what happened. She ran away crying because I was her first kiss.
Nightmare. She knew the social standard that she'd been working at, raising for so long.
Gone. Terrible.
Right back to square one.
She's
like hitting a snake's head on like square 78. Back down to number 3. Shit.
Oh, you're a total bastard. Hey, we got Eddie Brett coming up very, very soon here on FUBAR. Get your tweets in and just literally finish that sentence. The first time I hooked up with someone,
...
Or you can email hd@fubarradio.com and I'll get your stories up soon.
.com.
FUBAR Radio presents...
What is vore?
What are you for?
V-O-R-E. It is a fetish for being swallowed and eaten and digested.
How are we like fucking 5 or 6 episodes into this new series and you're booking me fucking cannibals? Who runs out of guests so quickly that they go, fucking hell, who do I get next? And a female Hannibal Lecter? You fucking get us on the phone to Broadmoor. We'll ask Sutcliffe about what he got up to. Okay. Why did you book this fucking woman?
Because I thought it was interesting.
Well, then go and talk to her in your own private life. Don't fucking cuckold me into having to speak to her.
Every Monday. Ray Peacock. From 2 p.m. on FUBAR Radio.
Tells what went down on FUBAR. So Tuesday Roundup, Hugh and Doc with you. And we'd like to welcome, first time to the Tuesday Roundup, Mr. Eddie Brett.
Yo, what's happening?
East London local poet, musician, gardener, all-round nice guy. Hello, mate. You doing all right?
Welcome. I'm very well, thank you.
Good. Well, it's good to have you in. It's good to have you in.
So nice, you said you've been doing some gardening.
I have been doing some gardening, yeah.
And you're making most of the sunshine and whatnot. Have you been planting or you just been rearranging?
Basically, been my uncle moved house and the garden was atrocious. It was just, you know, when you look
It's become a jungle.
It was like, how can you ever let your garden get to this state? And it put a lot of people off buying the house. So he actually got a bit of a touch with the price and all that. So we've just been digging stuff out and three skips full later. It's all cleared now. So we can start to make something magical happen on it.
Nice. Do you reckon he's going to turn around at the end of that though and go, oh, actually I quite like living here now, I don't want to sell? You bastard.
No, he bought it.
Oh, he bought it.
Yeah. Right. So that was like, you know, like the one thing on your mind where you're thinking, right, oh my god, this is going to be a pain. But we've managed to just clear it all out, so it's nice now.
Has he, because that's a nice thing to do for your family, but is he like, do you feel like you have a little part of that house now?
Well, that's what we wanted. We wanted to be able to sit on that soil or the grass when it's there and be able to have a pint in our hand and go, do you know what? We really deserve this forevermore.
Do you know why? Because this is going back maybe 10 years ago or something like that. I had a friend who forever, we'd hang out like a little crew of ours, maybe 10 or so of us, would hang out every weekend together. He would never had any money at all, ever. I'd be like, oh, yeah, I'll buy you a pint, Ghosty. I'll get the cab. He's like, no, I'm sorry. No, sorry, guys. Oh, I've got no cab. No, turned around and bought a really fucking expensive flat. I was like, I at least own your bathroom, mate. I fucking at least own your bathroom. I can't. For years, I've been buying you pints and paying for cabs and shit like that.
It's worse, though, if you lend someone a substantial amount of money. And they don't pay you back, and then they've got some new shit.
Well, it is the thing.
That is the very worst.
My mate had exactly the same things happened to him recently. He's bought his other friend some concert tickets for the summer, like £200. And he's gone to him, oh, I'm a bit short this month. Do you mind if I pay you back next month, the £200? He was like, yeah, no worries. Then that week, he's got a new girlfriend, and he's bought her this camera, and it costs £200. So yeah, it's a bit awkward.
I reckon he's got a chain started. Where did he get that £200? He's probably got that off somebody else. And told that somebody, can I borrow £200 because I owe this geezer £200?
Yeah.
And he hasn't paid the geezer. He's bought the camera for his
girl. That's usually drugs get involved when that happens.
Yeah. That happened to me actually. I had a guy. He was like, he was a rapper back in Melbourne, friend of a friend. He was like, oh hey man, da da da. Like, don't know if you're interested. Like, you know, I've got this hookup for buying cheap Mac laptops. Da-da-da, if you want one. I was like, oh, he's like, oh, I know that your friends are blah blah blah. And I was like, oh yeah, sweet. And he's like, they're only $500. I was like, dude, oh, fucking amazing. Yeah, I'll get one. Trustingly kicked him over $500. Months and months and months and months and months down the track, nothing. Couldn't get hold of him. Da-da-da-da. I was like, everyone was like, oh yeah, he's had a lot of gambling and drug problems. Like, he's just been going, he's been doing this again and again and again. I actually got like someone, because I was working in radio back over there, was I got someone to go like through his website to, hey, we've got a great radio interview opportunity for you. Right? And then he was like, oh amazing, yeah, got it all booked in and shit. And then he was turning up to come to this interview, and apparently he was listening on air and he realized, oh fuck, that's Hugh. And then he walked into the studio and I was like, what's up, bro? Yeah. What's up? Where my money? How evil is that?
It probably lent itself to quite a nice rap song for him, though.
He paid me back. Yeah, he paid me back right after the show.
At least he's thinking out of the box.
Yeah.
Making up products to sell to influential.
Bless him.
Yeah.
Bless him.
So you spent some time, I didn't realise you were part of the band Lovable Rogues.
Yeah,
a massive part of it.
Which is like a... I was so surprised that name had never been used in the history of rock and roll. Before. Yeah. It's like one of those names that's so good that you can't believe it hasn't already been taken.
It's very true. And when we first started, there was an Irish band, two blokes, like old blokes out there, and they used it, but hadn't been gigging for like 10 years. And we were, how do you like copyright a song name? How is it just like winner rules all? Whoever gets the biggest first and uses it, because I mean, yeah, they didn't.
Yeah,
have,
it's kind of that's kind of the
so
way.
So that's
it is,
what
yeah.
we did. We just swept them under the carpet, and now we are the Lovable Rogues. Right. See you later, old Irish blokes.
Yeah, they're not as lovable to them.
Have you ever heard from them?
No, we did, but we did spell it slightly different as well.
Right. That's key.
Yeah,
that's key as well.
So if they ever come at us, It's like, yeah.
So, but you're not disbanded, you're taking a break.
Yeah, no, I think when you create something like that and you do it with your mates, it's always going to exist. It's just right now we just wanted to explore other things that's a bit more true to ourselves as individuals. Now we've grown up slightly more. So it will happen again at some point. It's just whilst we're enjoying doing what we're doing.
So in the meantime, what's going on with Eddie Britt?
So yeah, I've put in an album out today. I had loads of songs after the band, and I'm always writing. And something that I, with the band, that we didn't really do, which I kind of regret in hindsight, is we thought about releasing stuff too much. We were so worried about people's thoughts on our songs and stuff. I've got an iTunes full of music that has never been released.
You get too precious about it.
You do. And say you write a song like a year ago about hating girls or whatever, well, you might meet a really nice one, so it doesn't really mean anything to you now, that song, so you won't put it out there. Mm. When really, it was a good song, and at that moment in time it meant a lot to you. So now I sort of wanted to just say to myself never to get too precious about music and just almost release it as a document of that moment in your life. Whether it's got commercial value to it or whatever, if it hasn't, just release it, move on to the next project. So that's what I'm doing with this. It's called Parlay, and it's just the songs that I've wrote over the last year, really.
Amazing. Is that what kind of... Because it was a little while ago with the Unlovable Rogues, you guys decided to sort of put it on hold, yeah?
Yeah. It was last year.
Last year. So do you think that kind of like sort of culminated to you just... Well, was there something, you know, you don't have to go into the politics of it, but was there something that happened, or was it more of, you know, you just kind of felt like, oh, I want to just try things a bit more my own way creatively, or...?
Yeah, we got released by a label, Psycho, which meant that we had to then put out the album ourselves that we'd made with them. And now you find yourself as three young blokes having to take on the business side of everything when you're not necessarily all businessmen within that band.
Yeah.
Some more than others, like I love that shit. I love going to all their meetings and stuff, but you start to have conversations and arguments and chats about things that you never really signed up for in the first place.
Yeah.
And that can build a tension and a friction that you just don't want within a band, and you don't realise it at the time, but it's a bit like a weed over a flower.
Yeah.
And when it's not there, everything's sweet, but the minute it starts to grow over it, it's best to just have a bit of time away from
it
all.
It's a shame, isn't it? Because I think it's a pretty familiar story, really. Isn't it? Is there not like a manager or someone that could have sort of stepped in to just take all of that off your hands?
But then you don't know who to trust at that point, because you had the manager with that label, and then... Now you're like, we did have management whilst we was doing all that, and that was fantastic for us. But then we were always we're not like what's the wool over the eyes sort of band. We was always very involved with everything.
Gotcha.
So we was always having them chats. I forgot. I'm waffling now. I don't know.
No. So I think it's a shame. It is a pretty, like I said, a pretty common story where people, you know, the business gets involved with it and creatively, and people. And that's, I think the best thing is to do when shit does feel like it's getting like that. You just, anything in your life, you take a step back.
Yeah.
And you go, cool. Just let me breathe. Just give me a sec, and then I'll regroup, and then we'll make a decision.
And it is
there.
True. Like we haven't. Like when you know someone that well and that much, you don't need to speak to them for so long.
Yeah.
You know, you're still in each other's lives, and that you're not going anywhere because you're a part of each other's lives. And now we're at the point now when we're speaking to each other because we want to, and you remember why you like that person other than being reminded what you don't like about them all the time. Which it's a very unhealthy thing to be in a band, really, because like even with my mates, I don't spend that much time with them. And if I did, I know I'd hate them far more than the people in my band. It's just, I don't spend that much time with them. Whereas when you're in a band, you're with each other all the time. And the littlest things, just, it's like being in Big Brother, but inside a small Mercedes Viano van on the road.
Yeah.
Always.
Yeah.
So are you doing, like, spoken word stuff as well as...
I mean, it's weird, like,
songs.
It's always something that I've done. And I don't know why, it's just always... But I don't really like the poetry scene. I find it a bit... like bland and boring. And I have done some of it, but I prefer to do it at my gigs because it's almost, they're not there to watch poems, so if you can get them interested in a bit of poetry to someone who wasn't signing up for that, I find it more enjoyable than when you go. I've been to a few open mic nights and they start waffling on about the green trees on the horizon, and I'm a bit like, oh, bore me later.
Has anyone ever written you a poem?
Oh, I'm sure loads of girls must have back in the day. Thanks, Mum.
Eddie Brett, I've written you a poem.
Oh, fantastic.
Coming up next, I'm going to do a poem for you.
I'll read one for you.
This is going to be the first time anyone's ever written you a poem, potentially. All right, here's one of your tunes right now. Right,
the
name of this one. Eddie Brett in the studio with us here on FUBAR. Here's our roundup.
Everything they live in, way to work I do, and it's that's the go to walls of my rent and food. I'm rich in many ways, not moaning, acting poor, but in some respects I feel I'm completely done for. My best mate is called Joe and he went to uni. He left and got a bank job, what a great opportunity. He doesn't pay rent cause he lives at home, and although on some of the money he can watch his grow. Fast forward a few years and we both get rises, but London has gone sky high as well as the prices, which is great for every older that has ever been. But for my generation life is now the English dream, with two properties. Well, his parents are laughing, and they also get a mortgage instead of a new bathroom. My family set up ain't so straightforward, cause my dad married Shrek and things between us are awkward. And this is how things are, and this is how they've always been, by keeping us apart. They know that they control everything we want and everything we need. The sound of the sirens, the bloodshed, the violence, all caused by our sirens, members mad in the riots. He's not set in stone for 25 years, and we go out to celebrate and cheers on the beers. In a panic state, completely berserk. He's thorned on me, I'm done the minute I can't work. His property goes up and my rent increases. He's talking about having kids and I can't afford leases. Just as I think this, I receive a dreaded text. The bird I've been seeing says expect to expect. Everything stops and I try and put things in perspective. Johnny must have split, I must have been too effective, but I need to put things straight, so I say, look, how many months have you missed the blog? And please tell me you haven't told your mates, because right now we shouldn't have children. Yes, there are different options, but there's only one we should take. Needless to say, she was not impressed, and I had countless verbals of hate and detest. But after discussion, we did what was best, and I had a huge round my shoulder and sigh of my chest. And this is how things are, and this is how they've always been, by keeping us apart. They know that they control everything we want and everything we need. The sound of the sirens, the bloodshed, the violence, all caused by our sirens, members in the riots. Give me something I can live for, cause I'm feeling so depressed. Working 9 to 5 just to try and survive. To you and the banks, my life has no interest. And no matter how hard I try to live an honest life, I'm one step forward and two wrong.
So good! That's Riots by Eddie Brett off his brand new album Parlay, which is released today. We are celebrating release day of Parlay right now. It's available on iTunes and all across the interwebs. Eddie Brett is joining us on FUBAR for the Tuesday Roundup right now, Mr. Brett.
Oh yeah, could you just pass me the champagne, please?
Oh, that's in a little bit of
this Cristal tastes delicious.
Thanks for playing along with it, though. It's Magica Radio. Man, it sounds great. So we were just having a little chat about the recording process during then. So you're working with a ska band in a studio near your uncle's.
Getting
a few different plays in, all songs that you wrote. I mean, it sounds like a lot of fun.
It is a lot of fun. Making stuff happen is always fun, especially because I've never done this by myself before. So it's almost like you can really like a little kid in a candy shop, you can be the person that you've always sort of wanted to be. Like, to be fair, it's probably a little bit too punk rocky, because it's not like, I write my songs on an acoustic guitar,
right?
So it's not the truest to what I am when I perform live, but it's certainly the young Eddie Brett who I've the band I would have wanted to be, and this is that sound. So it's cool, it's exciting.
That's great. So imagine if, like, the next from influences from this, you start writing more punk rock songs, and then the band that you work with are more reggae, and then you got all these punk rock songs that have been made in like a reggae version.
Yeah,
and sky's the limit, Eddie.
Yeah, oh man,
sky's the limit.
I like the way you talk.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Well, that's really, really lucky, because I feel it's terrible that you, as a musician and a poet, have never had a poem written about you or for you.
Yeah.
That we're aware of.
It's tragic.
Potentially.
But I've got a feeling that's all about to change.
It's all about to change. This is potentially the first one that's ever happened. You ready? Eddie?
I am so... I already started.
Do you know the name of it? I thought of a name of it. It's Keep Up. It's called Eddie.
Nice.
Okay, here we go. Don't worry, Doc, you just keep texting whoever you're texting over there, mate. Here we go. Eddie, are you ready? Eddie. Okay, gets Eddie. Spaghetti. Palms are sweaty. Instantly regretting telling you that my palms are sweaty. Eddie. Okay, it seems unfair that a man who obviously cares doesn't get his share of poetic flair. Eddie. You give and you give, but what about you? Why has no one written you a limerick or just a simple haiku? Eddie, it's so upsetting. So many people in your life, yet everyone keeps forgetting. What about Eddie? You must wake up each morning thinking, surely today, someone will pay me back. But like a horse says, nay. Well, Eddie, it's just not right. And I hope justice has been done. For my friend, this poem is yours and yours alone. Even if the last part was a bit shit and didn't rhyme. Eddie.
Wow.
That was beautiful.
How do you feel? Do you want to hug it out?
What powerful. A moment.
Come on.
That was nice.
There you go,
high
buddy.
Fives. No, fuck that. Big tens.
Yeah, mommy. Mommy.
Do I love that?
Oh, wow.
That's nice work. Felt good.
I feel a bit emotionally exhausted after that.
Mm. That was just straight off the top of the dome as well.
It's like being in 8 Mile.
Yeah,
really. Listening to P. Rabbit.
Yeah, yeah. Except more like P. Hamster.
Yeah,
because it was a poetry version. It was definitely not very aggressive. It wasn't very aggressive rap, was it?
It's like P. Rabbit when he's at home with his nan.
Yeah.
At his nan's trailer as opposed to his.
Yeah, 100%. So,
it's hard to know where to take it after that.
I think we should. I'm glad the lights weren't dimmed. Fucking hell, the humor got weird. Eddie.
Yeah.
So where do you can you sort of trace your style back, because it's got a little bit of everything in it. It's got a bit of, like, you know,
I'm
jury vibe,
a musical mongrel. I went to see
definitely a punky
the Blockheads a couple of days ago.
Oh yeah,
yeah, I love them. But the weird
legendary
thing with that is I knew of them after I'd already done stuff. Do you know what I mean? I don't know if you can call someone your influence if you didn't really know about them when you started, but I've certainly taken everything on board once knowing about them.
I think you can if you're dyslexic. That's fine.
Yeah,
that
cool.
Makes perfect sense. Yeah.
I started because of Iron Maiden. That's what got me, like, just seeing them on stage just rocking out. I was like, wow, as a little kid, I need to learn guitar. And then I didn't have the patience to learn guitar properly, so I just learned a few chords, started writing my own songs because it was a bit quicker. And then it just sort of, don't know, it all just went from there. And I grew up through the indie scene. So I took Alex Turner on board, and then...
Yeah, he's a very lyrical guy. I mean, he can sing, but, you know...
Yeah.
There's almost a bit of the rapper to him, isn't there? With Alex and the style he's got. And there's an element of that in your stuff, I think. You know, some of it reminds me a little of... Like some of Jamie T's stuff.
Yeah, you hear Jamie T in the voice for sure, can't you? Yeah, and the same way, the sort of the energy of the
song. Yeah, but it's definitely,
songs,
it's got that punk aesthetic that I think is attractive. But you can also see, some of your pop influence in there too. Because it's not inaccessible, punk, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, no. I guess, like, because I come from a rock background, but from, like, an urban place, so it's almost like punk's the equivalent of grime if you like guitar music, if that makes sense.
I'm
not a gangster, and I like grime music for the lyrical content and stuff, and not necessarily from a sonical one. So yeah, I guess that's where the punk side of it comes from, because that's the way that you, you're not too poppy, because you've still got a little bit of, yeah,
so
fuck you,
people,
mum, in there.
Do people mosh out at your gigs?
They have been known to, yeah. I mean, Love Will Rose was predominantly like young girls, which is quite nice now because they've all grown up. And they're all above the age of 18. So you'll be in a bar somewhere thinking, fuck, she's a bit all right. And she's like, oh, well, you're in that bad Love Rose.
So when when was that? When did the first Lovable Rose single come out? When did you first start performing
that? I don't know. Probably about... Well, we released new... Because we got... We never released any of our... early on demos. So the first time we released was through Psycho, who took ages to put something out. So I guess that was about 3 years ago, and it was about 2 years into our journey. Mm-hmm. And when we started, like, it's great now because you can, like I have done, you can just put stuff online, just record it, release it straight away, boom, you can get on iTunes, Spotify, everything. Well, exciting. Whereas when we started, that wasn't necessarily available, so we didn't release anything until we did like YouTube videos and stuff like that, but never properly released any music. Which is a shame, really, because I've got some of our early demos, and it's got its own like cute quaintness about it, because you can hear that we're like 16, 17 year olds in it. We would never release it now because you'd think, what a bunch of wanky little kids. But at the time, you would have been thinking you're the like bee's knees.
Sure.
So what about with this band now? So what you're doing by yourself solo, so with Parlay, are you going to tour that, or what do you want to do?
I've got like meetings with managers at the moment just to try and get a tour booked in for me, and I will have a band. Who's going to be comprise that, I'm not too sure yet, because I mean, I love trumpets and things like that, but then you've got to think about the hotel room for that trumpet player going around the country, so it's all little things.
You can squash brass, the whole brass section into one room, it's fine.
Is that
they're used to it? Yeah. Most rhythm sections you can just squash into one room.
Nice.
12 piece band, two rooms at a hotel, done.
I went on tour with Scam for Girls once, and they paid for brass to do their... they'd done a show at the Royal Albert Hall, so they thought, fuck it, we're going to really go all out for this one, get like a whole band in the lot. And the brass players, they fell asleep on the bus after the show, and they woke up in like Liverpool the next day, and I was like, where the fuck are we? And because they're already there, they had to do the show, because they didn't have any choice to get back home. So maybe that's what you do, you just like slip them a few roofies so they wake up somewhere else in the country and they go, oh, not this again.
Amazing. I want to play another one now, Richard Branson. This is off Parlay as well. Tell us about this one.
So yeah, this one is it's called Richard Branson because it's about losing my virginity, and I really like the geezer, and I thought it might be a nice way to get to meet him one day if he realises I dedicated a song after him. But I live with my little cousins, and they're all getting at that age now where, God forbid it, but they might start to meet boys. And when I was growing up, there really was a right way and a wrong way to lose your virginity, and I don't want them to be the girls that end up with like babies and prams in a few years' time. I want them to be the ones that go to university and realise they got a lot about them, because then they go into the world as a young butterfly as opposed to a haggard troll.
Like, wow.
You know when you're at secondary school and you get them girls that are far too fit for their age, so they start hanging around with all the older boys that they shouldn't do. It's just because the older boys like the fact that they're pretty and they've started to develop things, and they're easier to get with than the girls in their own year, because they're actually losers who spend all their time in the park. But the girls that start hanging around with them boys, they're at that influential age, they never make it out of like Chingford, where I'm from. Whereas you want to be the girls that don't realise they're pretty at school, go to university where they realise, because boys who are also at university who are smart guys, they tell them that, and then they go into the world like a much better person.
Oh, amazing, man. I look forward to hearing it for the first time. Here we go. We're celebrating release day of Parlay by Eddie Britt.
And this is a present to your ears.
Bless. Are you happy to stick around, man? We've got more stuff we're going to talk to you about.
Sounds fantastic.
All right. You're on FUBAR. It's a Tuesday Roundup. Hugh and Doc with you.
First time, the first love, an innocence served so pure. Don't know what to expect, I never done nothing like this before. No preconceptions, a broken heart or lost affections. No, nothing to take my mind from here and now. And I can see her taking off her clothes so slowly. She crawls over on fours on top and now she's below me. My body starts to shake, my lips quake, but with a kiss she quickly makes everything disappear. But here and now, first time, the first love, I proceed with caution. Make sure I wrap up well. A girl at school's just had an abortion. Well, I guess that is what you get for jumping in, not taking steps. Labeled as a dirty scare for older boys' cars and cigarettes. That's certainly not me, and I'm glad that that is certainly not you. And although we enjoy the occasional snout, I've only got one way to get you around, and that is on the back of my push bike. And this might not last forever, but Billy and Reese met at school and they are still together. Oh, they're still together. First time, the first love, turned out a drop in the water. I stand here watching you walk towards me at the altar. Not a dry eye can be found from the weeping faces all around. Even my uncle's crying now, yet that shakes my hand. I would do him proud. I don't care how cringe this sounds. I know that my words are true, 'cause if there's one thing I've found, it's that to me it's all you. We could sail up somewhere nice in the deep blue, and I need nothing else when I've got you.
Is Richard Branson by Eddie Brad, who's joining us in the studio on Foo Bus, a Tuesday roundup. Hugh and Doc with you, and Eddie Brad's we're celebrating release day as well today of his brand new album Parlay, which will be available shortly on iTunes and across everywhere on the web. So we're going to put it up on the Foo Bar Twitter so people can find it. Man, that's a great tune.
Thank you very much.
Lovely. You must be very proud of it. I've read it. Sounds great, even just what I've heard so far.
Yeah. No, I am. I listen to it quite a bit by myself sometimes, and I'm like, fuck me, this is wicked, Ed.
Sick. And then did you have a little wank? A quick
then
wank.
I did, yeah. Just listen to
don't break
my
eye
vocal.
Contact. Just have a little wank, look in the mirror, go, yeah, and you're the man.
Yeah.
I'm going to stop there. That's getting good.
First the poem, and now this.
Yeah, I know. It's
a bit exhausted.
Yeah, wouldn't drink all that champagne. This is good, man. This is very, very good. So you feel like you kind of, you know, you seem like you're in a happy place creatively. You feel like you have a bit of space, a bit of freedom. You can kind of do what you want.
Yeah, the trouble is I'm earning no money at the moment. Yeah. So that's where you got to find the middle ground.
Got to hit the road, buddy.
Yeah, I've been off for the last year really working on this. So, like, emotionally and creatively, I feel fantastic. I feel free. I feel back, like, where I was before I got into the game. But then now it's like I've spent all my savings.
Great. And we've got Eddie Brad in the studio. He needs some work. If anyone can tweet us in right now, have Fubar Radio or email hd@fubarradio.com.
Sales assistant.
Has anybody got any
Domino's
work
pizza.
That could offer Eddie Brad? Anything at all. We'll tweet it out now if anyone's
gigolo,
got any suggestions.
I'm good at making tea.
Mate, what about a gigolo chaiwala?
What's that?
Hey, well, you know, you make chai for people and then you root them.
Sounds
You'd be
good.
Like a gigolo tea maker.
Yeah, man, I'm up for that.
what do you kind of want to do now? Like, what is the thing? Like, you've got the Lovable Rogues, which is a great band, and then, you know, you've had some time out to do your own thing, and, you know, you're looking at doing some tours and stuff, but are you just kind of doing it bit by bit, or is it kind of a bit of a plan?
The thing that I haven't done yet that I really want to do is just tour outside this great country. It's something I've never done, and I just want to go around Europe and the US just touring, and that's what I need a manager for, because I wouldn't even really know. I know our live circuit, but I don't know how to get elsewhere. That's like what's my motivation of where I want to be that I haven't been already, and it's just making it work. I think you've got to adapt slightly. You've got to like realise what you're really good at and then adapt yourself to try and fit that in. So I'm doing a few like different things, like random things. Like, I'm on a voice agency and I get work through that and I really enjoy it.
It's nice.
And then you notice other things, like, you know, Madness.
Yeah.
Like Suggs, he does it, and I'll be watching the TV and hear the Walkers advert there, and I'm like, he's selling salt and vinegar crisps. That's him, that's Suggs. And then, I'm doing that at the moment and I really enjoy it.
That's amazing. Do you reckon you could give us like a little example of something?
Oh, hey, it's brands.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Well, can you just make it up?
I did do one the other day, right, for bone cancer, right?
Oh, bless. There you go.
It's a nice light-hearted one. But basically, if you've got lung cancer, there's a good chance you've got bone cancer.
Wicked.
But people
don't.
They won't test you for bone cancer if you've got lung cancer, because everyone just assumes lung cancer's your fault.
Right.
Because it's like comes from smoking, and you didn't have to smoke, so why should we treat you for bone cancer? Mm. Whereas if you've got breast cancer or something, then they will treat you for bone cancer because poor thing. Okay. So basically, this advert was.
So it's just a sad one?
Well, no, I had to be like, you've got lung cancer. That's your fault. Like, and just be really
horrible. Right.
Wow. So I'm not that popular around cancer victims at the moment.
They recognise that voice and they break down again.
They do, yeah.
No, you should feel good. You should feel good.
That's amazing.
About what you brought to the table.
All right, Eddie Brown, where do people go online to find out all about you, mate, and keep up to date?
Just Twitter. Like Eddie Brett, Instagram, Mr. Eddie Brett, Facebook, it's all there. And then the album will be live, like, sort of any moment now. I've done it all last minute. So basically, they're just processing it all at the moment, them people in the cloud. You know, them cloud people.
Oh, I know, they're always up there, aren't they?
Yeah, just processing stuff.
Yep.
So it's just waiting to get the green light, rather.
Green light.
And then it'll be out.
I like that, man. So it's a real pleasure having you on the show.
It's lovely being here.
Absolute ledge. Absolute ledge. Eddie Brett.
Thank you very much,
Eduardo Brett.
We'll put all the details of the album, how you can find it, very very shortly through.
We shall do that.
Up next, in fact, even if you want to stick around and help us out, we've got to illegalize it up next. If there's anything that's been getting you vexed,
try getting rid of me.
All right. Okay. All right. We'll give it a bash.
All right. You can think of one. All right.
And I've got lung cancer.
Oh God. All right. It's coming up next on Food Bowl. It's a Tuesday roundup.
Light on.
featuring The Weeknd, Sexodus. Name of that one on Fubar.
Sexodus.
You heard me, Doc Brown. You heard me. Don't make me say it twice. Awful. I'd say it twice anyway. Sexodus. It's fun to say. It's the Tuesday Roundup on Fubar. We've got the legend, Eddie Brett, is joining us in the studio. And we were just having a little bit of a chat because you've taken a year off to write this album, Parlay, which is, we are celebrating release day of it today. But you've taken a year off, which means not so much cash coming in. So I asked our dear listeners, can somebody help us with perhaps a job for Eddie Brett? It turns out we've actually got the manager of Cicciolino's Pizzeria.
Oh, yeah.
In Islington. Graham, he's on the phone right now.
Hello there, guys. How you doing? All right.
Good day, Graham. Graham, thank you. And I believe you're a fan of the Lovable Rogues. You're a fan of Eddie Brett, and you'd like to offer him a job as a delivery driver.
Yeah, well, I was listening to some of the songs then, as well as the talented singer songwriter. We wondered if Eddie wanted to get on board, get on one of our bikes, and ship a few pizzas out.
Sounds fantastic. Get to do some exercise at the same time and making people happy.
Well, you can have push bike, moped, have what you want, Eddie. It's free. It's carte blanche, mate. You can have what you want.
That sounds fantastic. I'm well up for that.
If you can sing to the customers as well, that'll be a great bonus. Maybe there's a free pizza in it for you as well.
Yeah. Oh, it sounds like a win-win situation.
Graham, you don't want to look like you're just way too easily. Surely there must be some kind of like interview process or something. Surely.
No, honestly, mate, I'm desperate for anyone. And people keep leaving me left, right, and centre. So I love Eddie. We do need him at 6 o'clock tonight once he's finished.
Brilliant. And if the pizza career don't work out, well, I can always go back to the music.
Eddie, is there any questions you want to ask your prospective new employer?
Yeah, do I get to keep tips?
Yes, certainly do, Eddie, yeah. Tips could be money value or even a few slices from a few cheeky customers as well.
Oh, there you go. Sounds like my sort of pizza joint.
Incredible.
Graham, this sounds great. What do you pay?
Well, I'd like to keep that off the record, if that's all right with you. I don't want to talk money on the phone.
You also, he doesn't want to make the other drivers get jealous when I'm going to get more than
him. It doesn't
him.
Sound like he pays very well at all. It doesn't sound like that.
Well, maybe there's a bit more in it for Eddie than the other drivers. I should say that.
Graham, you're amazing. Cicciolina's Pizzeria in Islington. Thank you so much, mate. We love you.
No worries. Have a good evening, guys.
You
cheers.
Too. Oh, there you go, Eddie. Problem solved, buddy. The power of radio.
It's an amazing thing. What a tool.
How do you feel?
I think it's going to last, this radio stuff.
Have you ever worked in a pizza shop before?
Never a pizza shop. No, I did work in a nightclub once in South Woodford, Funky Mojo's. I know you're thinking, what's that got to do with food? But it was getting shut down at one point, and they had to start selling food to try and sober people up before they left as a thing to the council to look like they was doing something about it. We started selling hot dogs, and I was known as the hot dog man.
Oh, why?
Hot dog boy.
I heard that was for a different reason.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Let's go. That's right, illegalising it, giving you a chance to get off your chest what has got you a little bit vexed this week. You can tweet us at Fubar Radio, email HD Fubar Radio. Anything you want banned this week, we will ban it for you right now.
Mm.
Doc Brown, how are you feeling? Do you want to get anything banned?
Yep, Uber. I'm done with these guys.
No.
Yeah, I'm done with them.
You can't ban Uber.
Mate, I was the biggest supporter, and then they just, time after time, they just fucked me over, and I'm done. I'm going back to my local cab firm who I've been ignoring for
specifics. What's actually happened?
Alright, okay. The first night I was going to see my friend, and he's a magician, right? Yeah. He's doing a show at flipping O2, right? Yeah. So I'm thinking I need to get there. It's pissing with rain. Get the Uber. I'm following it. I like that little game, just following him on the screen. And it just keeps going the wrong way. He's just like, it goes from 1 minute to 3 minutes, then up to 5 minutes. Like, mate, what are you doing? Then he just stops at the bottom of my road.
Yeah.
I'm like, what? It's just sat there.
Yeah.
So I just get out and I go down, like, through the rain. It's properly bucketing down. And I get to his window, I like, tap on his window, like, mate. He goes, hello. I go, yeah. Like, what's the deal? Are you coming or what? And he goes, oh, no, it's, I'm gonna have to cancel it. I was like, what? He goes, yeah, you have to cancel it. Why? Oh, no, it's cancelled. He's not giving me any details. So I'm like, look at my phone. Oh, yeah, request cancelled. Like, oh, great. And then he drives off. So I have to order another one, and then the same thing happened again. But this time I got in the car.
at least they're making their way to you to tell you they're cancelling it, as opposed to just doing it via the phone.
When I got in the car, I was like, bruv, you're not leaving until you tell me what's going on.
This is quite possibly the saddest legaliser we've ever had. This is really...
So basically, when there's like a sort of rush, like maybe a Saturday night, everybody's on their way out, or when there's a sudden downpour, they up their fares, right? Massively.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you've seen that where they went like 2.5 times the normal fare or whatever. But if you've managed to get in there just before the fare rise, like I did, I didn't know the fare was going to rise, but I had. They just wait it out until they get a higher fare, and then they just cancel you. And I'm like, screw you guys.
Mate, how's this? How's this on Sunday? Right, I had a friend coming from Stratford to my house in Bow, and something was wrong with his phone. I don't know, blah blah blah. Anyway, I ordered him a Uber from my phone to go and pick him up, and immediately they're like, oh, there's a public event on. It's going to be 1x5 the extra the normal fare, and I was like, whatever, you know, get my mate here, just get him here. So they get here and I get. And then my mate calls from the Uber saying, there's actually a marathon on all around Victoria Park and there's no access. We've been stuck in traffic. And I was like, well, what the fuck? Like, why have you charged me an extra, like, 1.5x? Yeah. You know what I mean? And when you knew very well, you knew where the route was. Mm. You knew it was coming from bloody, you know, Stoke Newington to Bow. And you knew it was coming through the actual roadblock. Yeah. And you still booked it. Yeah. And you still...
There's no one you can complain to, dude. There's no complaint email. There's no nothing.
So do you think it's only a matter of time before the whole fad of Uber?
I hope so. Or maybe there's like a better app that's popped up in the midst of all
this. I think it's
this.
Always good to have competition out there because it gets people in the work, like the marketplace, to work harder.
Yeah.
And I think the black cabs, they've introduced their own app now, and if that'll start taking off with the demise of Uber, and that's a good thing because they've... Yeah, reworked what they
did. Well, I mean, big shout, Doc Brown. But if you want Uber's banned, mate, Uber's a band.
Thank you,
Eddie.
Fubers, on the other hand,
Fubers are not. What about you, Eddie Brett? Anything you want banned this week? Anything that's got you a little bit like, garden gnomes, inappropriate gardening clothing? What do you want banned? Did you do World Naked Gardening Day on Sunday?
I didn't. No, I was half naked. So a bit of a wet. Effort really. I'm quite happy at the moment, so I can't really think of something I thought bad. Oh no, it is a thing. It's not for me. My mate's car got crashed into last early hours of this morning by a baker who was delivering at an old people's home opposite his house. Ooh. They ran into the back. They went into the back of his car and then just started driving off without saying anything.
You want old people banned?
Yes. And bakers.
And bakers. Oh, he's going in. He's going in.
No, bakers in general. It's people that like crash into cars and don't say anything.
Mm. Yeah, 100%.
But I don't think they're actually allowed at the moment. So can you ban something that's not allowed?
I reckon. This show's about whatever you want.
Okay, well, whatever you want. I want them banned. I want an apology to my friend.
Yeah. Do you know what I want banned? Mm. I want, and this is, I want banned kids.
Okay.
Blanket. Sorry, Doc. I know you've got two. I want them banned, all right? I was sitting there peacefully down the road here, actually, last Friday or somewhere, last Tuesday after leaving FUBAR. And I was just sitting there minding my own business, eating a bloody Tesco sandwich, having a great old time, sitting there on a park bench, and some kids came up and they tried to rough me up, all right? They said, can I have a bite of your sandwich? I said, no, you can't. What the fuck? Not what? You're like 12 years old. No, you can't have a fucking bite.
Wait,
why are you asking a stranger if you can have a bite of my sandwich?
Was that a euphemism, do you reckon?
Maybe.
Oh, shit. Oh,
hot dog you.
Fuck off. And I'm like, no. I'm like, what do you know? You can't have a bite. I was like, who asked someone for a bite of the sandwich? And they're like, go on, give us a pound. I was like, no. I won't even give you a fist pound. You get nothing, you little bastards. And then they're like, whose bike's that? And I was like, it's my bike. We're going to steal it. I was like, you're not stealing shit. You guys are fucking annoying. Fuck. So that's it. Sorry, all kids are in the same bracket now. I want them all banned. Any kids under 15, banned. Gone. I don't know where. Australia.
See, I would say it's the 15 to 17, 18-ish group that I would have more of a problem with.
Yeah, but see, the reason I'm not banning them is that they will ban against me.
They will hurt you.
Yeah, I'm physically frightened of anyone that's over 15. Mm. Boy, girl, doesn't matter the size. Anyone at all over 15, I'm physically threatened by. That's how I feel.
Fair enough.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Safe place. We're in a safe place.
Are we actually banning kids?
Yeah, we're allowed to. You can bow whenever you want.
So I think I prefer kids to adults. I think they're more honest people.
Same.
If I'm at a family party, I'd rather play outside with all the kids on the trampoline than go inside and do all the small talk with the adults.
Yeah, I'm not going to let the kids thing slide. It's 2-1 in the studio. Oliver says, let's get a ban on people who don't use deodorant on the tubes, which I think we can all get on board with.
100%.
I think in general, I think we're in a day and age now where you should have deodorant on most times.
Yeah. Mm. Carry it with you.
I mean, definitely. I mean, because again, I was in an Uber recently, and I know a lot of people believe in not using deodorant, and that's totally up to them. But
well,
if you're,
is
if
it?
You're, yeah. Well, I mean, it is. I mean, some people, for whatever reasons, they don't think that they will not, whatever, not use deodorant for whatever reasons. It's fine. They're up to it. But when you're in a car and you have to actually physically have your head out the window because it's so, you know, so
stanky.
Bad. Yeah, and I actually had someone, like I DJ in a bar on the weekends, and one of the bar guys there has constantly got really bad BO, right? And I just I've been on it for months, and no one will say anything. And it's a big topic of conversation at this place. And I pulled him aside, and I was like, hey, man, you know, like, do you...
I'd really appreciate someone telling
Would you really? That's what I felt. I felt like I would.
Do you know what I mean? Because it's so embarrassing.
And I put him aside and I was just like, bro, hey man, like, you know, no offense, but I was like, have you have a bit of a sweaty day today? And he's like, what do you mean? I was like, well, you just, you know, you got a little bit of pong coming out of here. I was like, man, just, I would just get a few little things. I was like, you know, because it happens to all of us sometimes.
No, it does. Yeah, well, if you've come from a night out and you haven't been home and washed yet and you've got to go straight out.
Oh, that day where you think, who is fucking honking? And then you realise it's you.
Yeah. But I think at that point, you just got to be honest with everyone and say, look, guys, I know I stink at the moment. Yeah. It's not my fault.
I would say hold your hands up, but that's probably not going to help. Justin is, I mean, this is quite particular. He would like to ban charcoal.
Charcoal.
He says, I hate the feel of it, and it's a stupid artist tool, and it smokes too much when I use it on a barbecue.
Right.
So he's got three issues.
He has.
Feel,
smoke,
and artist.
It's about him.
Mm. Yeah, I don't really need... I like the little quick burner bricks that come in the bags where you can burn the whole bag personally.
100%.
So I don't really need charcoal.
We're not really supposed
I'm
to take it out
I'm not
going to
draw anything with charcoal, definitely. And I'm not going to caress it, as Justin obviously has, with bad results.
Why would he? It does sound like that. I don't like the feel of it.
Here's one. Ban it now, is the subject matter. It's Lee. Lee says, is it possible to ban the blue ticks on WhatsApp and people not replying to it? So annoying. What does that mean?
The blue ticks are when you get two blue ticks come up when it shows that you've read the message.
Yeah,
so people know, they've read it. Why haven't they responded?
Why haven't they replied?
Definitely can ban it. But I think there might actually be a way where you can turn it off.
I'm not letting you ban that. It's far too useful of a tool.
It is useful.
Yeah, because
then people send me shit, Eddie, that it doesn't warrant a response.
Then just say that. Just be honest with them.
Oh, what? Just respond by going, why are you wasting my time with this shit? Why are you wasting my time?
Yeah.
Mm. It's quite interesting.
Because it's honesty.
But then I feel like I'm wasting my time.
Because some people are just lazy, and I need to know that they've seen it, and so I can chase them up further and give them a call and be like, look, why haven't you replied?
But what if they keep doing it? Then it's not just being lazy. They're just telling you they don't want to talk to you.
Ban them.
This is the saddest.
A message.
Ban them all.
Maybe my message is right there and not replying.
Dad, reply to my text, man.
Get your tweet in at Fubar Radio. Email hd@fubarradio.com. We want to know, what do you want banned? We will ban it for you in Illegaliser. And we're about 5-6 minutes away from Rap About Anything. And Eddie Brett, you're here now, mate.
Yeah.
You might as well just stick it out to the end, buddy.
I love it. I'm having a great time.
Here is fellow countryman of mine, Gruff Reese, with Gudu 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 on Fubar to Tuesday Roundup.
Nu vannin y byd Dwi'n gwybio ar y lonnid Trans mi gan fi yn
song. It always makes me think of like some kind of crab dance.
Yeah.
Don't you think, Eddie Brett?
I think it just, it will pick you up in the day whenever you hear it.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that. That was Gruff Reese, Goody 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 on FUBAR for the Tuesday roundup right here on FUBAR. Doc Brown, we've had some pretty good suggestions for rap about anything.
Yeah, pass us that iPad over there and give everyone a shout out.
It is nearly that time of day. We're getting close. We're getting close.
Yeah, thanks to who did we have? We had one in very early, didn't we? Matt Thomas, who said when you miss the tube and the frustration you get having to wait 3 minutes for the next one. Laurie, them ones there.
Love it.
Them ones there. Amazing. When you start an essay with 2 hours to hand in, relatable as fuck.
Yes.
I wonder how old Matt Laurie is. Mm.
That's just them irresponsible.
Ones them ones there, right. Bruv. Them right. ones there. Peter says, what did Peter say? Oh, Peter says, could you rap about me? Hey guys, can I get a rap about hiding pineapple in my pants?
That's a weird one.
Yeah,
that's a bit itchy, I think.
Yeah, like a whole pineapple. Maybe pineapple pieces might be all right.
Daniel in Wrexham said, Doc, can you rap about football stickers? I've just started the Euro book. I'm spending a bomb load. They're 50p a pack now. I don't remember them ever being much cheaper. Leah in London says, I've just got into watching Saved by the Bell.
Yeah.
Can I have a rap about Zach Morris?
You remember Saved by the Bell, don't you?
Yeah, I remember Saved by the Bell.
When I wake up in the morning and the longest of the morning, I don't think I'm going to make it on time.
There you go.
Do you know the rest?
Riding low in my chair, she won't know that I'm there. Hand it in tomorrow, it'll be all right.
We should get him to do one about Zach Morris. Right.
Because I'm still out of pill.
Amazing. Yes, good job.
Jessica says, could you rap about cropping Hugh out of photos?
Yeah, I know, motherfucker.
I didn't see that one. I would have done that.
It's a wedding photo. I was best man and he cropped me out of it. What a bastard.
Brian wanted Stone Cold Steve Austin. Lee wanted Wasabi Peas. Remember that?
Yeah, I like that one.
But I ended up going with Yvette, who wanted a bespoke rap about the PPI calls she keeps getting. She keeps getting cold called. So that's what I've gone for. But I've, to be honest, Eddie's been so interesting, and your song choice has been even more interesting. I haven't properly finished it, if I'm honest.
You're being modest.
No, I wish I was, mate. I wish I was.
All right, without further ado.
When this baby hits 88 miles per hour, you're going to see some serious shit.
We're going to call this one rap about anything.
Doc Brown!
This is Doc Brown.
I can spit about anything.
What did I tell you?
You can give me anything.
Make some noise, yo.
Rap about anything. You literally can't you?
Well, let's hope so.
So far. This might be the first one where it all goes train wreck.
Yeah, I don't really know what's going to happen at the end.
Well, we'll find out. So since this one is about PPI calls, you thought we We kind of have to. We kind of have to go with De La Soul, Ring Ring Ring.
Oh, nice.
100%.
Yeah, good choice.
That could be
hey,
not.
Fuck. All right. Yeah, boy. I feel like I should do the Running Man to this one.
Yeah.
Yo. Yo, hey yo, I turned some suggestions down with no regret and chose this one that was offered by a vet, cause she's sick of her phone ringing with no warning. Shit, another telesales guy cold calling. Running out the shower in a panic, phone on the 13th ring, god damn it. Get there just in time to take the call. Have you ever been involved in a crash that wasn't your fault? Fuck! Hurling abuse down the line at a Bangladeshi dude who claims his name's Brian. You know it's not his fault, but you still want to break his neck. Hang up the call. Yeah, then you hear the house phone ring. Only your mom ever calls that thing. Shit, what if she's in trouble? You run to the receiver quick on the double. Hello? And you just wanna cry. Have you ever been Miss Soul PPI? I don't even know what that is, man. Jesus. Smash the phone to pieces. Freestyled the last bit because I didn't write anything. I ran out of time to rip.
My gran
Rit's
once
not
got
even a word.
My
nan
once got a phone call and I'm glad that she did because she got a letter and it had 80 quid.
Boom. There you go.
Well, I got a call asking for PPI and I said yes, but I realised it was actually STIs.
Little twist at the end there from Hugh Joseph.
Yeah.
All right, we're out of time.
Thanks to my colleagues
anyway,
there. Thank you very much.
Doc
cheers,
Brown,
guys.
Smash it again. Eddie Brett, thank you so much for your time, mate.
Thank
Parlay.
You for having me. Thanks for being so lovely.
Parlay
cheers,
will be
Eddie.
Out
thanks
today.
For coming in, mate.
The legend, Hardest D Needle, take over up next.
Yay!
And we will catch you very, very soon. Go to FUBARradio.com for
bye,
any
guys.
Details. Catch
bye.
Up on any other show. Bye.
Bye.
You and Doc, we'll catch you soon.
Nice.
Gonna leave you with the Clash. Root can't fail.